Close your eyes. Take some good long, deep in and out breaths. And if the long breathing feels good, keep it up. If it doesn't, you can change. You want to be on top of how your breath is feeling right now and making any adjustments that may be necessary to make it feel good to be right here, right now. Because if you're going to see what's going on in your mind, you have to be right here. You have to be here with a sense of ease as well. Otherwise, if the mind cooks up something that looks good, but you know is going to be bad for you, but it looks like it's going to taste good right now, you'll go for it because the mind is hungry. But if there's a sense of well-being that comes with the breath, okay, you're not so hungry, and you can look with a little bit more skepticism at the things the mind provides for you to feed on. And you realize, okay, I don't need that, I don't want that, and in the long term it's going to be bad, so why should I get involved with it now? This puts you in a position of strength, because the mind, like the body, needs to be fed, and meditation is good food for the mind. If we spend all of our time feeding off of sight, sound, smells, taste, tactile sensations, the mind gets weak. Because it has to have things just so. The sights have to be just like this. The sounds have to be just like that. The flavors have to be just like this. Otherwise, you get upset. That's a weak mind, a mind that causes a lot of trouble for itself. But if the mind is strong, okay, then from the strength that comes from the meditation, then you can deal with sight, sound, smells, tastes, and tactile sensations and not be so hungry for them. Realize that that's just junk food for the mind. The really good food are the intentions that you can create within the mind, and good intentions that you hold on to and that you develop into something strong inside. So try to feed your mind off of the sense of well-being that comes when the breath feels good. And then you find that its old feeding habits hold less and less of an appeal. Like the habit that says, I always want to be right, and if I'm not right, I'll tell myself a story that makes me right. That's not useful. We have this weird culture here in the States where people are rewarded for not admitting their mistakes. You look at the columnists in the newspapers. I mean, for years and years and years, they've been telling us lies. That they're still considered to be esteemed columnists. They never take any responsibility for all the wrong things they've told us over the years. And as a result, they never learn, we never learn. It's when you can admit your mistakes, because that's what's really worthy of praise. But our society doesn't praise people who admit their mistakes, and so we build up these habits of not admitting them to ourselves. That's something we've got to unlearn. And realize that the nourishment you get from feeding off of the kind of self-esteem that comes when you don't see your mistakes is pretty miserable food. We've got much better food here. The food that comes when you've learned a skill, how to deal with the breath, how to deal with the mind when it's not willing to settle down. Now, these are important skills to learn, worthwhile skills to learn. And you learn them by noticing, okay, the days when it goes well, why does it go well? The days when it doesn't go well, why does it not go well? What can be done to improve it? You know, in other words, you want to learn from what you've done well, and you also want to learn from your mistakes. So the first thing is to admit, okay, when something is a mistake, you admit it, and if you want to have a sense of pride around it, well, have pride around the fact that you're the type of person who admits mistakes. That's a much more useful sense of pride, because that can eventually be turned against itself, and you get rid of the pride when you don't need that anymore. So you've got to strengthen the mind so it doesn't give in to these old feeding habits. Thing can cause it a lot of trouble, cause a lot of trouble for everybody else, and leave you weak. And when you're weak, you tend to be fearful, and when you're fearful, you tend to do things that are not skillful at all to protect yourself. But when you're strong, you realize, okay, you've got the protection you need already. You can stick with your skillful actions and skillful thoughts and skillful words, and they provide you with all the protection you need.